Well, as I've said before, I am grateful to the lectionary and to the people who, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, have put it together, because the lectionary ensures that we cover the primary, the major themes of Scripture over a three-year period. We don't do it every week because there's just too much there, and even over a year, that's fairly difficult to do. And I'm equally grateful to those who put together the church year with its seasons and with its occasional Sundays like today, Trinity Sunday, that ensure that some of the doctrines that we could very easily skip over because they're kind of complicated or at least tricky, this ensures that we don't. Human beings are efficient of energy, which is sometimes described as laziness, but I think efficiency of energy is actually a better way to put it. And so we put off doing some things that are hard if we feel we don't have to, and the church here doesn't let us. But why would we want to put off the Trinity? The Trinity is the doctrine, obviously it's important. Well, I would be surprised if there are very many of you who haven't run across at least one person in your life who has told you, with all seriousness, that the Trinity isn't really a doctrine because it doesn't appear in the Bible. And in one very narrow interpretation of that phrase, appear in the Bible, they are correct. The word Trinity does not appear in the Bible. There's no nice proof text that says that God's the Trinity. Move on. But there are lots of things in the Bible that aren't laid out as clearly as that, that we most certainly believe. And so on Trinity Sunday, it's worth a bit of a review to remind ourselves what the Trinity is, what we know about it and what we don't, and then what does that mean for us? There are all kinds of things in the Bible we could talk about that would be interesting from perhaps a historical standpoint or a translation standpoint or all kinds of things that may or may not have much of an influence or an impact on our day-to-day lives. But the Trinity isn't one of those. So let's begin with what the Trinity is and what we know about it. Well, the Trinity is the doctrine that says that God is simultaneously one person and three persons. Now, obviously, we can't understand that in its fullness, in its totality. And that's okay as well. There are other things about Scripture that we can't understand, or about God that we can't understand fully either. We have limits that God doesn't. We will, at some point, know what immortality is like, because when we go to glory, that's where we will achieve it. But we will never know what eternity is like, for example, because there is always a time when we weren't. God's eternal. There was never a time when God wasn't. So we won't understand that, and that's okay. We accept it for what it is, and we say, this far we can go, and any further is simply beyond us. And the Trinity is also beyond us in a way, because we are not one person and three persons. We're one person. Well, why would we think that God is three persons in one person if it's not carefully laid out in the Bible in, you know, 3 points? Well, it's because of what God says about himself. In Deuteronomy, the Shema, the famous statement about God, Deuteronomy 6, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." One. There's one God. There aren't many gods. There isn't a pantheon. The Romans and the Greeks, which is the pantheon, or perhaps the Norse gods, are the ones that we know the best, where there was a god for this and a god for that. They're discrete in this belief structure. They weren't the same. They weren't connected. They were different. They're beyond people, but they were individuals. Deuteronomy says, no, that's not the case. Deuteronomy says there is one God. But we have to do something with the fact that God presents in three persons. God the Father, God the Creator is sometimes called. A bit of a misnomer because it's the Holy Spirit who's there at creation. Obviously God. And Jesus, self-identified as God. We look at the things that only God can do. The bringing of life. And we see that all three persons do them. The forgiveness of sin. Not the forgiveness of an injury, which is what we do to each other. When someone hurts my feelings and they come to me and say, I'm sorry, and I say, I forgive you. That's forgiving that injury. It's not forgiving their sin the way that God does. And we see that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in the forgiveness of sin. So obviously, they are God. And so the way we bring these two things together is not through saying that God is each of these things one at a time, like God is a three-sided pyramid and you see one side and it's completely different than the others. No. We don't say that God was one of these three persons for a time and then was another one and then was another one or switches between them. We say that all three persons of the Trinity are eternal and are all part of God. They are all God. And we realize that we go so far in our understanding, and then beyond that, it's beyond us. And we simply accept that. Every once in a while, you run into people who tell you that there's something wrong with you because you're willing to accept things that you can't prove or that you can't fully explain. Well, that's one of the things about being human. And it's not just in religious matters. There are things that we know how they work, but we don't necessarily know exactly how they work. Does that mean that physicists are kind of crazy? No, it means that there are limitations on what we know. In this particular limitation, it's one that we will never surmount. Physicists hope that they will eventually figure out is light a wave or a particle. Calling it a wavicle is just kind of cheating. We know there are some things that are just beyond us because it's the nature of God. And this, if we stopped here, would be more of a doctrinal talk or lecture than anything else. And we could stop here. There's nothing wrong with reviewing doctrine and where it comes from. To realize that the label Trinity came several hundred years after the last book of the Bible was written. It was put together by learned scholars who were trying to come up with a label, were trying to explain the things we believe in a way that we could all understand. There's great value in knowing that what we believe has been carefully thought through for hundreds of years by some of the smartest people ever. But there's more to the doctrine of the Trinity than just our intellectual connection with it. Because the doctrine of the Trinity reminds us that God is fundamentally relational. That God is fundamentally in relationship at all times and has been at all times. So inviting us into a relationship with Him isn't something brand new. In fact, being invited into a relationship with God expands His circle of relationships. It doesn't invent the notion of relationship to begin with. God has always been in relationship and has always valued it. Our culture is making great strides in this, but there's still a very strong sense in our culture that the pinnacle of a mature human being is one who is completely independent, which is foolish on many, many levels. Complete independence is impossible. I don't know that any of you are able to create your own car, for example, or for that matter, the internet, or build your own house starting from scratch. I don't think you could build the axe that you'd use to cut down the trees to build your house. So obviously we are dependent on other people. And those who will tell you that independence is the pinnacle will say, well, that's a kind of dependence, but it's not really important. If we could do away with it, we would. And I put it to you that doing away with that will damage you as a person forever. The pinnacle of a mature human being is an interdependent human being, not an independent one. And not a dependent one. Interdependency doesn't say that there's something that is wrong with me. Interdependence says, I have limits that only you can fill in. see that every Sunday. We see it everywhere. There are things that happen at church on Sunday morning that can't happen if you're not here. They can't happen if I'm not here. When we come together, we are, in that phrase that we've all heard, we are more than the sum of our parts. Because we're not talking about damaged people who are missing something, and that when it is supplied for them, then they're back to normal. We're talking about fully whole people that have limits that are filled in by each other. This is where giftedness shows up. We are interdependent, and we need to be interdependent. We need to be in relationship with each other. And when we are following God. There are many things about God that we look at that we aren't called to take upon ourselves. Omniscience is one that leaps to mind. There is never a call in Scripture that says that the best Christian ever will know all things. No, that's one of God's attributes. As Heather pointed out to me, if we want to know what we have to have as a human being, we look to Jesus, who gave up omniscience. He didn't need omniscience. God has that. Being all-powerful. We don't need to be all-powerful to be in sync with God's call upon us, because that's God's attribute, it's not ours. There's all kinds of discussion about what the image of God within people looks like. There are some who say our sense of humor is a sign of the image of God within us, something that sets us apart from the rest of the created order. Quite possibly so. But I would suggest that when we're in healthy relationship with each other, whether that's with a lot of people or a few people, whether that's when we're married or not married, have children or don't have children, the look of the relationship or the details of the relationship aren't as important as knowing that when we are in relationship with other people, we are following God's example. Because God is in relationship and always has been. We need to be in relationship. There's no such thing as a healthy Lone Ranger. Although I find it interesting that we use that Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger had Tonto. Even the Lone Ranger wasn't a Lone Ranger. We can't do that. We can't function on our own. Why do we think that the height of punishment is to put you in isolation, in solitary confinement? It's because human beings are created to be in relationship with God and relationship with each other. And when we take that upon ourselves, when we take it seriously, that's when, and only when, we will begin to see that we are who we've been created to be. And God has demonstrated to us that relationship is important. It's of critical importance. It would be nice, perhaps, if we could somehow live in the illusion that we don't need anyone else. I've had people talk about that, as how good it would be not to need people. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy because in our connection with people, and I'm not talking about needy in that sense of looking for someone to fill an unfillable void within you. I'm not talking about that. But in our sense that we need each other and that we need to be needed is when we find some of our deepest satisfaction. I don't know anyone, I've never met anyone who doesn't find the fulfilling of a need deeply satisfying. I don't know anyone who won't talk about how good they feel when they help someone else, whether they know them or not. There's something about us that I strongly believe spring from the image of God within us that says we need to be connected. And that's different for all of us. Introverted people need fewer connections than extroverted ones. Some people need to be married, some don't. Some people need to have children, some don't. Our relational needs are as unique as we are, but the need itself isn't unique, it's universal. We all have this need to be in relationship. And when we look at the Trinity, we see that being in relationship is not a sign of our weakness, but a sign of our strength, is a sign of our wholeness, our healthiness. God isn't weak because there are three persons. That's the model. The model for us is to be in relationship with each other. Trinity Sunday has got a lot of things for us. It has some really good hymns. It's got some great scripture reading. But maybe most of all, is that it provides an opportunity for us to remind ourselves that we need to be in relationship with people, because that's when we're fully human. That's when we're at our most healthy. When we are interdependent, when I allow you, when I invite you to fill in the gaps that I have, that's when I'm at my best. And that's when you're at your best. When we as a congregation come together to do something as profound as worship, it's because we're all here bringing our individual voices and persons here. We all have our unique gifts, and we've been given them so that we might use them to strengthen the relationships that we have. We'll never have the perfect relationship, at least not on earth, that we see in the Trinity. But if we don't pursue relationship, we'll always be handicapped. So on Trinity Sunday, let's take a moment or two to remind ourselves to rejoice in our relationship. To rejoice in those people who fill in our gaps. To rejoice in those people that let us fill in theirs. To rejoice in the fact that when we get together, we're more than when we're just individuals added together. And to rejoice in the fact that our relationships, our fundamental need and requirement for relationships, is following in the footsteps of God. That a healthy relationship reflects God. And that as we work towards relationships, we become more and more like God. Amen.